And Ray, I'd love you to comment on this. You know, I mean, Jesus made it clear, Matthew 2, 23 to 28, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath.
Mm. He was continually condemned by the Pharisees who said he violated the Sabbath, even by healing a man. This is why I go evangelizing on a Sunday. Should I stay home and rest? Well, Jesus said, which of you, having a donkey or an ox, wouldn't rescue him if fell into a pit?
Wow.
And humanity's fallen into a pit, so we should use Sundays as a time to rescue the lost. So I've been going out twice every Sunday for years.
Where do you go on Sundays?
Local park.
And there's pub?
Park. In the dark. And I just go around until I find someone. And it's usually people playing basketball or just standing around.
Do you interrupt the game?
Yes.
You steal the ball?
No, I don't. I do interrupt the game and get chatting with them. And it's just been a wonderful.
Good for you, Ray.
Can you see Ray doing that? Running out on a court, grabbing a ball, and pulling out a knife and popping the ball. Listen to me. Get me to repent.
More important
we'll
things.
We'll be playing games in hell.
Some guy was bouncing a ball when I was filming him yesterday. I said, that's going to ruin your interview. It's a boing, boing, boing. But I've had some wonderful interviews on Sundays. So it is a day of rest, but we can't forget the lost.
Welcome to the Name Some Cool Conveniences game, where we name some cool conveniences.
Microwaves.
I'll start. Has anybody asked for this?
I'll start.
I asked for it. Sour cream in a tube.
Yep. Amen.
Oh, Mark, you concur?
Oh, of course.
I'm not sour cream.
Can you get that, or you're hoping that we'll
have it?
No, we have it.
We have it. Costco.
Because, okay, Rachel makes these wonderful tacos, but to put sour cream, and I love sour cream, but I got to get a spoon, I got to do this,
well,
it doesn't come off,
that is,
and it doesn't come out.
The least Mexican taco I've ever heard.
It's hard shell, right?
So, and sour cream.
So one day I'm like, they should have this stuff in a tube or something. She's like, they do, AZ. And then, of course, anger, bitterness, she never got it. But she gets it now, and I absolutely love it.
I love a condensed cream and a that you can squirt out. Just like,
you mean
whipped cream?
Whipped cream.
Yeah, in a
it's called a can.
Yeah, that's a can.
A Mexi can. Thank you, Oscar.
Yeah, I chased my kids about 40 years ago and gave them mustaches with it.
Why am I envisioning? Were you the one that would pour it in your kids' mouths and like?
Yeah. I do that with our kids.
Yeah, you put as much in as you can, and they love it.
I do love whipped cream.
I put it in the kids' pillows.
I do love
just to surprise them.
Have you ever done homemade whipped cream? It's so good.
No. How do you do that?
You mean genuine whipped cream from real cream. It's wonderful.
What do you mean so genuine? Good. What are you talking about?
You just make it from home. It's super easy to make.
You do it with the and you stir it up.
You just take whip and you tape cream and you put it together.
Look at the perplexity
wait, wait, wait.
In Easy's eyes.
Because everything's made for me, so I don't know how to do that stuff. So
wait,
he's not joking.
I know.
But wait, you're telling me You don't like whip it from milk.
You do.
Yeah. It's cream.
With sugar.
Whipping cream.
I believe it's sugar, right?
It tastes really nice.
And you whip it?
Let's just
shape it up.
Okay. Do you guys think, okay, butter is made from milk that's just constantly churned?
How do you
right?
know that? Prove it.
Make me.
Butter.
But is that how you make butter? You just keep churning
milk? Churn milk. Yeah. Whole milk.
Have you ever tried that at home?
Yeah, add salt. No, I haven't.
I've tried butter. It's nice.
Yeah, Buddha. And nothing but Buddha? What?
And that's right.
What was that called?
It was, I can't believe it's not Buddha.
I can't believe it's
not. Did we have a tract or I just suggested?
No, I think you did a tract on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I can't believe
not
it's
here,
not.
Not here, but maybe in New Zealand.
It was in New Zealand. I can't believe it's not Buddha.
Yeah. Because that was a saying. I can't believe it's not
what
butter.
What was that
can't
name?
Believe it's not butter.
Buddha.
Yeah.
Buddha.
So anyway, you make cheese by keeping cream stirring.
But can you actually do that? Like if you just stir yeah. The milk
you can
will become butter?
Milk and
it takes a long time.
I'm going to try it.
Prove it.
You should.
2 months later.
Huge forearms.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You guys name some. I have more here. I want to hear.
What are we doing?
Conveniences. Cool conveniences.
Oh, it's microwave, obviously.
Well, listen, right now it's the shower because we've been without a water heater for the last week, and it's cold. It's winter, so we get our new water heater on Wednesday.
Have you been taking cold showers?
Cold showers.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, this morning it was like
okay,
a little
but Mark, you've been doing what I've been doing. You've been finishing off with a cold shower for a while.
Yeah, but it's still, it doesn't help.
No, I know. I need my hot first, but you know, the other day, it was kind of later in the day, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to finish off with a cold shower. And I regretted it because I was so exhausted. It really does wake me up.
It does. For like a cup of coffee.
I think it's wonderful.
You've been doing it, right?
No, it's wonderful for other people.
the crazy, stupid Arabs.
There's air conditioning. We forget about because it's winter. Oh. How wonderful air conditioning.
We don't have AC either.
Right? You don't appreciate these things until you lose them for some reason. Right?
Keyless entry. I can't stand keys.
That's true.
Like our front door has a passcode.
I don't use key. The only thing I have in my pocket is a fob now.
Yeah.
At home, I have a thing.
Same.
Beep, beep, beep. And then here, it's touch, you know. Yep.
So I use a key at the back door. Can I change the lock so I don't
course.
Do that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have a key. We have like a passcode.
Yeah. So Dad, that's what I call him off-air friends, Ray.
Scandal.
People know now I call you Dad.
Scandal.
But no, it's so cool because you punch in, when you come, you punch in your code, but like, when you leave.
What's your code?
Yeah, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Who would ever do that?
But when you leave, you hit a button and then you just turn it. And it locks it from that. I love it. I can't even imagine using a key.
If you're
for
a burglar, you find out where Christians live and just go 7777. You're in.
Yeah.
All my kids' friends know the code to our front door.
Seriously?
Yeah, they just come right on in.
Yeah. Well, you have some that are connected to your phone, so you can unlock it for someone.
Yeah, that's how our...
And let them in.
We have one like that.
Yeah. It's amazing, man. Paper towels. I'm talking about the simple things we don't think about.
I love paper towels.
Because I take it for granted that people always had paper towels. Yeah, no, they didn't.
I spill things every day. I spilled something this morning. And paper towels are my salvation. I love them. We go through dozens of rolls every day.
Well, and they're sanitary. With all your spills, right? No, but seriously, like, think of the things that like end up dawning on people after time. You're like, I can't believe we didn't used to do it like this. You have a party at your house. No one ever used to put out paper towels. It was always a hand towel.
Cloth.
50 people using it stinks, it smells. Paper towel, clean, sanitary, done.
But we still use that one towel for 50 people.
You still use that one?
I saw an advert on TV, one of those silly buy this office in the last couple of minutes sort of thing. And it was advertising something against paper towels. So they showed in black and white a lady trying to use paper towels and how horrible it was. And then they showed this big, horrible rag thing.
Shams or whatever.
Yeah, I thought, can't beat paper towels.
No, man, I don't care how many trees you got to kill. give me my paper towels. Ziploc bags.
Oh, I love them.
Seriously, I mean, for my neat freakishness, I mean, because you can compartmentalize things, they're not touching each other, you know what I mean?
You can put screws in them and sandwiches.
Yeah.
Peanuts.
And I love the kind, too, with the zipper thing.
Great invention, that zipper thing with your phone.
The zipper thing, that's what they call it.
Yeah. Oscar, you like Ziploc bags?
I use them often.
You just seemed angry, like when I met you.
I did not think Ziploc bags would be on your list.
When he's a kid, he has kept in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah. It's a triggering situation for me, okay?
Deodorant.
Oh, what? 100%.
Deodorant. Thank you, Lord. Look, friends, here's what you have to understand.
What's that?
Ray Comfort, you may not realize this, friends. Ray Comfort is the least... a confrontational person you'll ever meet. But if you have BO, expect a letter from Ray Comfort.
Please keep it quiet.
A letter?
Ray, haven't
you? Did you
Ray
write
people?
A letter?
I remember.
Letters to people about
BO. I don't know if I could say this, but we were overseas once.
And what was his name?
No, I'm not going to give a detail. We were overseas.
Yeah.
And,
what
and
country?
I was speaking and there was these beautiful girls on one side. They were separated from the guys. They were just gorgeous. And I walked down the aisle and I was hit with this wave of BO that you could taste. Oh, I'm not kidding. Just a totally different culture.
Yeah.
So I met this girl. She was
No, but seriously, I mean, deodorant.
We take it for granted.
Ray actually sent me to the store many years ago when we were at our other building to purchase deodorant for one of our employees. Who's no longer with us.
They're no longer with us.
They didn't use it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but seriously, no one, even your best friend, won't tell you if you stink.
Ray will tell you.
I would tell you.
You would?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not my best friend.
How about the convenience of texting?
Oh, I love texting.
Right? I mean, that changed things for us in terms of like you always had to get on the phone. That takes time. Now you just send a quick text.
Now it's just the voice memo now.
Oh, and the voice memo.
I'm starting to get voice memos.
Well, now, and with voicemails, did you guys see
that? You sent one to me the other day, didn't you?
Did
somebody
I?
Did. Somebody sent me a voice memo.
It might have been me.
And I made a note. I'm like, this is the first person over 40 that's ever sent me a voice memo.
But you know now, even with like voicemails, it does.
Oh, the transcript?
It does a text of it for you. And now too, with voicemail, at least on my phones, you can interrupt the call now. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah. You can answer it while they're leaving
the
voicemail.
Well, yeah, because you could read what they're saying. And then if you want to answer it or, you know, which was...
I was with a friend. He received a text saying that his window was down on his car. That the car texted saying that his window
was
down.
That's crazy. Yeah.
The thing I love about texting is you can keep old friends. I stay in contact with that.
Seriously.
It's just wonderful.
Well, and you can have four or five people come on your heart. You just send a quick text to each. I'm thinking of you, praying for you. Man, just like, it's like a so boost good. Of encouragement.
That's weird. I've never gotten that from you.
Yeah, never will. Ray, here's one Ray loves. Listen. Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the joy.
Yeah, look, I love hate
malls. Malls have become funeral parlors. Oh. You couldn't pay me to go to a mall.
Amazon, AZ.
You have to park your car. You have to go in there and you could get shot while you're there. Amazon, click a button and it's coming.
AZ, they deliver it before I order it.
That's exactly what I absolutely love. The speed. I'm just going to push a button and the doorbell rings.
I hate it and love it at the same time.
No, why do you hate it?
You know,
they're such a terrible company. In our house, we call it the Zon because it sounds like this overlord that controls our lives. It just feels more accurate. We're like, oh, did you get that from
Zon? You've got to submit your will.
So ominous. No, right?
Submit your will to Amazon.
The Zon.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because Rachel's like, I never order things online. I
really?
Things are done for me. My wife's my helpmate, but she's always like, hey, I can't believe it. I ordered it an hour ago. It's here, you know?
It's just wonderful.
It's crazy. Why does my wife sound like Ray Comfort?
They ring the doorbell. They send you a picture of what's at your door. It's just
it's pretty cool.
They have
man.
Thought about things.
It is.
They put themselves in our position to see what we want.
I got to say, they've done it right, man. Amazon has hit excellence with
Zon. I want to strive for Living Waters to be like that. Yeah. Just to be over
We're
the
pretty
top.
Close. Yeah, we're pretty close.
Yeah, we can with deliver within 2 weeks.
I mean, our team is amazing. Sue and
we have Sue
quick overnight 6 week delivery.
Apple Watches, Oscar,
oh, man. Best device I've ever owned.
Yeah, I got one now. It's unbelievable. Mark has one. Ray, why you left out?
Because I
draw a little Apple watch on it.
Ray, do you know how many different bands they have? You could get whatever you want. Turn it around.
Really?
Hi.
Do you remember why?
Ray's keeping his $3 watch because he could turn it around to remind him.
It's $12 easy. Don't exaggerate.
Oh, sorry. It's four times.
Overnight shipping, though.
Yeah. To remind him of what he needs to do. I turn my watch around.
Can you order on Amazon through the watch?
Yes. Of course.
I'll get one.
Through Amazon.
Keep your work.
Do you remember the reason I told you why the Apple Watch is like my favorite device?
Because it limits distractions.
Yeah.
It's true.
It takes me
away. It sounds counterintuitive, but it does. You think it's always on your wrist, but I could look at something internally instead of pulling my phone out, opening it, you know, all that. Anyway, forget
So that's
you guys.
40 minutes. Thanks for joining us. Yeah.
Well, France, here's something super cool. We got hats. From a friend in Indiana. Friend,
thank you so much.
We wish you would have put your name. Please write to us. Let us know who you are. And we want to thank you by name. But hats, mine says baklava. Oscar.
Mine says coffee.
Mark.
Wiener schnitzel.
And mine's got a picture of a chicken.
Chicken. I bet you Ken Ham sent these, right? Just to get that into your hands. Chicken man, he calls you.
I'm going to take a picture.
Yeah. All right, Franz. Man, you guys have talked so much. Here's a comment. This is from Just Because, B-E-C-C-A-S, my new fave. I saw your What Is It movie while watching Jack Hibbs' Wednesday night message at his church a few weeks ago and was blown away. And when I heard you had a podcast, I quickly looked it up and started listening in the morning while getting ready for work. It always makes me laugh and cheers me up on even Monday mornings. Laugh out loud. You have the best rapport and with each other, and your personalities all mesh so well. It makes listening to you fun. Thank you for all you do. God bless you guys. Smiley face.
Thank you.
Thank you, Just Because. That's more than Just Because. You really blessed us today. All right, friends, this podcast is brought to you by The Starter Kit. Ooh. Contains one pack each of the following gospel tracts for $350 total. You get the $1 million bill, Ten Commandments coin, comics Are You a Good Person, the small version, and 101 of the world's funniest one-liners. Make sure to get it. It is pretty cool. Yeah, and we'll get you started on sharing the gospel with tracts. And don't forget the Living Waters mug and the Adventist Study Bible, all at livingwaters.com. Whoa, Oscar, that hat must have inspired you.
I'm just saying.
That was beautiful.
I'm going to wear this.
All right, guys, seriously, man, you guys talked a lot. Today we're dealing with...
Instead of like you saying seriously, just leave that out.
Seriously. Are Christians supposed to keep the Sabbath? Boy, yes. Ray, you've probably been hit up more about this than anything.
It's been for over 40 years. Actually, yeah. Plagued by Seventh-day Adventists, so you just preach everything. Nine commandments is all you preach. You won't preach the one that's important to God. Mm. That's just crazy.
Wow. Yeah, this is a pretty big, divisive topic amongst people. We talked about the Seventh-day Adventists, and that this is kind of the hallmark. I mean, when your church is called the Seventh Day, and you add the word Adventist on it, it just shows that that's a big deal for you. And I think there is some genuine confusion among some believers because they're looking, they'll say, well, the Ten Commandments, this is in the Ten Commandments. And yet you guys don't have the view that Christians are under the Sabbath. So I want to open it up. I have a lot to say, but I've been saying a lot already. I'll let you guys say whatever you want to say.
Well, again, I think we need to look to the scriptures to first define what and why Sabbath. It's a weird thing, and it's important to recognize that it's in the Ten Commandments. Like, there's something about rest that God is inviting us into. So before we get into the logisticals of what does it mean to keep a Sabbath, what are the parameters, is it on a Saturday, is it on a Sunday, I think just a theological foundation for Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And it's simple. I mean, God rests on the seventh day. And one theologian that I was reading, he points out that on the seventh day, it doesn't repeat the language evening and morning. And the reason why he pointed out is that there's a sense in which God intended in the garden that there would be this perpetual rest. Not that there was no work, because certainly work is pre-endemic fall, right? Adam is given work. Work is good. But there is this joy, this peace, this rest in the presence of God that is intended to happen. But of course, Adam and Eve sin against the Lord, kicked out of the garden. And then what ends up happening is that God intends to restore humanity back to a place of rest with him. And we see that happen when God's people are slaves in Egypt. He brings them through Exodus out of that. And he delivers them, and then he once again invites them to rest on the seventh day. Again, inviting them to rest with him. And then what we see, an important aspect of what we see in the New Testament is that one of the questions that I get is like, why don't we rest on the seventh day, Saturday? Why is it on the first day? A big transition happens in the New Testament. A new covenant is established with God. And essentially what happens is that it is true that Sabbath was on the sixth day, but because Jesus resurrected on the seventh day, or I'm sorry, on the seventh day, when Jesus resurrected on Sunday, the early church, the Christians in Acts and moving forward, began to worship and gather because of the resurrection. And this is actually really important. The early church treated Sundays the way that we in the United States treat Easter Sunday. Right? Easter Sunday is a big thing for us. We all put our Sunday best on. Everyone goes. We take pictures. It's this big celebration. That was every Sunday from Acts moving forward. Every Sunday was a gathering and a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. And so what we see in Acts is that it shifts from Saturday to Sunday for the purpose of celebration in the new covenant.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's important to step back and say, you know, where do we make the distinction? It's interesting that of all the Ten Commandments, the only one that's not repeated in terms of tying it to the Ten Commandments is the Sabbath. And when we look at Colossians 2:16-17, it says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are, in keeping with kind of what you alluded to, Oscar, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. And so I think John MacArthur put it really well. He had a few things to say on this, and I want to open it up. Ray and Mark, I want to hear.
You're going to read my quote.
¿Te gusta? I'm going to read a few. Here we go. So it says, the Sabbath is the only one
of the Ten Commandments.
How cute. We have the same quote.
Oh, we can finish each other's
Sandwiches.
Sandwiches. Stole my line.
Yeah. The Sabbath is the only one of the Ten Commandments that is non-moral and purely ceremonial, and it was unique to the Old Covenant and to Israel. The other nine commandments, on the other hand, pertain to moral and spiritual absolutes and are repeated and expanded upon many places in the New Testament. But Sabbath observance is never recommended to Christians, much less given as a command in the New Testament. So, Mark, I'll let you elaborate on that because you were going to share the quote anyway. So,
that's all I was going to share right there. listen, we have a lot of Presbyterian friends who still adhere to the Sabbath, and they do not believe that it has been done away, right? So we understand, you know, from the outside that there's two different thoughts concerning that. But I think that we both agree that keeping the Sabbath does not earn us points with God.
Yeah.
Right? It's just now, how do we define, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath? Because we all agree that it is a great idea to set aside a day of rest, to not overwork, to think back upon how the previous work week went, and to think forward on how the work week is supposed to go or whatever else that you're going to be working on. I try to do that every Sunday. I try to think through all the stuff that happened and all the stuff that's going to happen. And then the previous night, I think through all the stuff that I'm going to do that next day. Mm. I take it a step further, right? When I get inside of a car, when I'm done with an event, when I'm leaving a place, I pause and I think back, what just went right? What went wrong? How can I make that better? Yep, I should have handed out that gospel track. I should have done better. That's okay. No condemnation. Moving forward, where Christ is our perpetual rest. He is our Shabbat, right? He is our, what is the word that you used to talk about our peace,
shalom.
Our rest in the last
shalom.
One? Our shalom, right? That we find our ultimate place of rest in Christ. So there's no condemnation. You know, you want to judge one day different than another day, then that's okay with you. Obviously, coming from a Baptist perspective, that would be the position that I would take. And I like what you had mentioned with John MacArthur. I think he nailed it out of the park. You know, then I would just ask a Sabbatarian or a semi-Sabbatarian, what does it mean to actually keep the Sabbath? And why do you think that you can earn favor with God? And if you don't keep the Sabbath, well, now you're going to hell. I mean, you go to Israel today. We've been to Israel where the elevator stops on every floor.
Yeah.
Because it's considered work if you push the button. Mm. You know, I mean, we're straining at a gnat here.
Yeah.
Right. That's not the purpose of the Sabbath.
Yeah. And Ray, I'd love you to comment on this. You know, I mean, Jesus made it clear, Matthew 2:23-28, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath.
Mm. He was continually condemned by the Pharisees, who said he violated the Sabbath even by healing a man. This is why I go evangelizing on a Sunday. Should I stay home and rest? Well, Jesus said, which of you, having a donkey or an ox, wouldn't rescue him that fell into a pit?
Wow.
And humanity's fallen into a pit, so we should use Sundays as a time to rescue the lost. So I've been going out twice every Sunday for years.
Where do you go on Sundays?
Local park.
And this pub?
Park, and the dark. And I just go around and around until I find someone. And it's usually people playing basketball or just standing around.
Do you interrupt the game?
Yes.
You steal the ball?
No, I don't. I do interrupt the game and get chatting with them. And it's just been a wonderful.
Good for you, Ray.
Ray doing that? Running out on a court, grabbing a ball, and pulling out a knife and popping the ball. Listen to me. You need to repent.
More important
we'll
things.
We'll be playing games in hell.
Some guy was bouncing a some guy was bouncing a ball when I was filming him yesterday. I said, that's going to ruin your interview. It's like boing, boing, boing. but I've had some wonderful interviews on Sundays. So it is a day of rest, but we can't forget the lost.
Well, and we have to remember, you know, Jesus was constantly being harassed by the Pharisees and the hypocrites over the Sabbath. I mean, and in fact, they were so blinded, he healed a man. And instead of being like, this guy's like, he must be who he said he was.
You healed a man on the Sabbath. Hey, there's 6 days to be healed. Come back on one. Like,
you do a really good Pharisee.
Just heard of me.
That's a high feminine voice.
I know, man. I should have been in Mel Gibson's movie, right?
Please, the Passion of the Christ. Don't push his button.
Thank you very much.
It was the arms on the hip. You know what? I think Sabbath is a very interesting thing because I think there's almost these two extremes that end up happening. There are people that repeat the legalistic pitfall of trying to create these hedges and these man-made rules, and they lose sight of the reality, as you mentioned, that Christ is our Sabbath, that that is where we find rest. And yet, I also think there's another extreme out there, which is that we treat Sunday like any other day of the week.
Yeah.
Or that we treat it as a vacation from work rather than a time to rest and delight in God. And there's a big difference. To vacation is to vacate. It's to remove yourself from, you know, sitting. If your Sabbath Sunday looks like, all right, yeah, I'll do church because that's what I'm supposed to do, but then you're sitting down watching football all day long. I think you could even go to church on Sundays and still not spend that day delighting in God.
Yeah.
And so by no means, I'm gonna tell you what we do. We do take our Sabbath serious in my home. I'm going to tell you what our routines are, but I don't want this to be taken in any way, shape, or form as this is how you should do them too. This is just our way of trying to redeem our Sundays.
So your whole family wears phylacteries.
That's exactly right, yeah. I'll just use this last Sunday as an example, actually. One, the early church believed that Sabbath started Saturday night, like that first meal, and it ended Sunday night with the final meal. And so for us in the morning, we get up, we make a really intentional breakfast, we eat it as a family, and then this last Sunday, we went on a hike. Because for us, like, to delight in God's creation, to get out and to use the bodies that he gave us as a family and to walk around, we went to the beach and we did a really nice hike. We went back to the house, we got ready, we went to church, and then we had, you know, a meal with members of our church after church. We extended community with intention with people from our church. And so for us, and then on top of that, while we were on our hike, we prepared a devotional and we got to talk with that with our kids. So basically, we're looking at Sabbath as a way for us to rest in Christ, delight in his creation, and reorient our hearts on who he intends for us to be. That's how we use our Sabbath. So I guess the takeaway here is, I do think God intends for us to spend a day a week rejoicing in him.
Yeah.
That's going to look different for everybody, but I think intentionality is key.
Amen. Yeah, and Kevin DeYoung put it well. He said, we should rest in Christ alone for our salvation. But along with that, there is still an abiding principle that we ought to worship on the Lord's day and trust God enough to have a weekly routine where we cease from our normal labors. He made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath, which we quoted. God gave us Sabbath as a gift. It's an island of get to in a sea of have to. Wow.
That's really good.
Isn't that
good.
Powerful? Mm. I'm gonna save that one and use it at the right time. But yeah, it's a sea of get to. Oh, it's an island of get to in a sea of have to. He also offers us Sabbath as a test. It's an opportunity to trust God's work more than our own. When I go weeks without taking adequate time off, I may or may not be disobeying the fourth commandment, but I'm certainly too convinced of my own importance and more than a little foolish. If my goal is God glorifying productivity over a lifetime of hard work, there are few things I need more than a regular rhythm of rest. Rhythm. That's a good word to infuse as well.
Hey, listener. Have you ever imagined yourself having a box of goodies for you to give away to every friend, loved one, non-believer that crosses your path? Well, now you can get one. That's because Living Waters is giving away 10 free boxes of goodies every single week. That's 8 in the USA and 2 overseas. And this is being made possible by a faithful partner of ours that has given us funds to make these resources available to you for free. Each of these boxes has $100. That's right, $100 worth of tracks, books, and even your very own podcast mug. Go to livingwaters.com/podcast, fill out the form, and then listen to the end of the episodes where we will be announcing our winners. livingwaters.com/podcast. Good luck.
Yeah, and you know, Jesus said, come aside and rest a while.
Yeah.
Jesus recognized the need for rest. If I had one superpower, the one thing I would love to have is to not sleep.
Yeah.
But sleep reminds us that we are in need of God, that we need God.
Amen.
You know, if you want to grow muscle, which I know nothing about, but if you want to grow muscle, I'm told that you need to rest, right? You need to take days off on the muscle groups that you're trying to grow. You can't just do bench press every single day.
Yeah.
Right. So you want to work. I like the way Ray Ortland worded it here. He said, God wants us to follow a recurring pattern of intense work and then rest. Intense work and then rest. And so forth. Whatever view one takes of the Sabbath, surely the 6 days of work and the 1 day of rest embedded in the creation remain relevant in some sense. Mm-hmm. Right. So we must rest. If you find yourself working, you know, 7 days a week, I have a family member who works 7 days a week and he works 12 hours a day and he's done it for years. You are setting yourself up for failure. Come aside and rest.
Man, I love that. Rest reminds us that we're not God. I mean, think about this. God rested. Why? Because he needed it? No, because we needed it.
Yeah.
And if we needed it before the fall, how much more do we need it now after the fall, living in a life of sin? We need rest. I think to your point, like we always want to work, but you know, I think often if you think about like, oh, well, I always need to be doing something, you could fall in the trap is I am important. And rest means I'm not God, right? Rest means we have this insidious lie in our hearts where it's like, oh man, there's so much work that needs to be done. I need to do that work. Rest reminds us the important work has been done for us.
Yeah.
Rest reminds us ultimately that we are human, that we are frail, and that we are limited. In other words, rest intends to remind us that we aren't God.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing.
Listen, okay. I love the fact that you love coffee. I love the taste of coffee, but I cannot drink coffee, right? I have this allergic reaction when I drink it. It puts me into like a panic attack. I mean, I've been to the ER because I've taken too much caffeine. Before I would work out, I'd want to take like these caffeine pills or that pre-workout. No, I need to just kind of pause. So I think that God has allowed me to have this allergic reaction to coffee so that I purposely rest with him.
Yeah.
But I would love to be able to always stay awake, never take a nap, live off of 30 minutes of sleep.
Yeah.
We need to work at resting.
Ah.
Hey. Oh, is that Ray, original?
Mark, yeah. Ray
That's
got
not
so,
very insightful.
Ray got so excited, Mark, because he said, like Ray says. And then
yes, because you're talking about working out and muscle. Ray says, oh, what did I say
Ray
about
Ortland.
That? Muscle was another Ray. Yeah.
And Mark, by the way, man, thank you for admitting your muscle-lessness.
Yeah, there's not very much to
yeah,
me.
That's very true. Ray, talk about this.
Okay.
Romans 14:5-6. Mm. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes a day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He gives God thanks. He who does not eat to the Lord does not eat and give God thanks. And it goes on. But that whole principle, again, like we're talking about, you know, the Sabbath not being binding on the believer, as MacArthur cited, it's the only one of the commandments that was ceremonial, not mentioned again in the New Testament, no explicit command given to us to keep it. But yet there are people that have different views on this, and we need to be convinced in our own minds and not be judgmental.
Yes, this Romans 14:21 is where it builds up to, happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows. We've got tremendous liberty as Christians. But when someone says to me, you're not keeping the Sabbath, I write back to them and say, if you can find one verse in the New Testament where Christians are commanded to keep the Sabbath, I will keep it and I'll tell others to also. But there's not even one to keep the Jewish Sabbath.
Yeah.
Not one. We're told the exact opposite. All the scriptures in Colossians, let no man tell you. Acts 15, when the disciples got together, they didn't say, you know, what's their attitude, the law of Moses? They didn't say, oh, remember to keep the Sabbath holy. Didn't say that. Refrain from blood and things strangled. So what I would love to say to people who are so important about keeping the Sabbath and all they do is tell other Christians to keep the Sabbath is knock it off. People are going to hell. This is silly. Read Romans 14.
Mm, yeah, that's good. And, you know, and it's a foreshadow, right? As we read about for the things to come. And we've referenced it, but we're talking about Hebrews 4:1-11, where we talk about Christ being our Sabbath rest.
Right.
So therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Then in verse 9, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And that's the sweetness that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. We've ceased from work. We've ceased from trying to earn God's favor. He bore his wrath in our place. He's our substitute. And now we have uninterrupted and eternal rest and peace with God.
Yeah, you nailed it.
I love that.
Yeah. Also, when Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler that ran to him, he didn't use the Sabbath commandment to bring the knowledge of sin. He named 5 commandments, but he didn't use the Sabbath. And I believe there's a reason for that. The commandments he pointed to are recognizable as sin by a natural mind.
Yeah.
You know, you shall not steal, shall not lie, shall not commit adultery, shall not kill. We know those are sin, but most unsaved people don't realize failing to keep the Sabbath holy is a sin, failing to give God his dues. Same with Paul in Romans chapter 2 when he said, you say you shall not steal, do you steal? You shall not commit adultery. You commit adultery, touched on idols. But he didn't say Sabbath. Why? Because the Sabbath isn't clearly recognizable as a sin by the carnal mind.
Yeah. And then the whole moral aspect, right, like you cited, it's not a moral command.
Right.
Go ahead, Oscar. Sorry.
I love the way you point out that all of this is pointing us back to the gospel. And I was just thinking about like how different our relationship with God is than everything else in this world. Because every other relationship that we have to some degree is quid pro quo.
Yeah.
It's like you have to earn it, you have to keep it, you have to do something well, right? When you're a kid, you've got to work hard to get the right kind of grades to get to the school you want to get to. Mm-hmm. You've got to work hard to make the team. And if you don't make the, or you know, if you stop playing well, then you get kicked off the team. If you stop showing up to school, you're going to get kicked out of that college. If you know, you work hard to get a job, and if you show up with BO, Ray will fire you, right? Everything. I mean, all of our, even in our relationships, like, look, there's some of us know, you know, we have friends. We know that there's certain lines we can't cross. We have family members that have unfortunately abandoned us with intent or not, you know?
Yeah.
The bottom line is that we know at some point, at some level, every relationship in our lives has some sort of quid pro quo. And then you turn to our relationship with Christ. And as you pointed out, the work has been done.
Yeah.
Jesus is our rest.
Amen.
We turn to him. We have union with God because of the work of Christ. And we as God's people get to rest and delight in that finished work. I love that, man.
Amen. And you know, that's one of those things that again reminds me of the divine nature of the gospel. It's so counterintuitive to what man would ever conceive or come up with. And you just start thinking about that God himself was our substitute so he could spare us from God himself and give us eternal rest. Like, now I've talked about how like when Christians, I think one of the most offensive things to God is when Christians question his love for them. I mean, what more do you want? You know, it's like someone who took a bullet for you, sold their house for you, gave you one of their kidneys, became homeless because of all they've done for you, and you're standing there as they're lying on the sidewalk because of you, and you look down at them, and they look up at you, and they say, what's wrong? You look sad. I just feel like you don't love me. What an insult.
Yeah.
God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Like,
so good.
We need to, when we're doubting God's love, we need to step back and slap ourselves in the face and say, this is like the most atrocious thing imaginable.
Yeah,
you know?
Held nothing back.
Yeah.
I love the words of Jesus speaking about rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And it's speaking of the laboring to enter heaven, the heavy ladenness of our own sins. And he says, and I'll give you rest.
Yeah. That's the next quote I was going to read. MacArthur, he went on to say in that the same vein there, he said, Jesus proclaimed, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It was an offer of an abiding Sabbath rest. He was the fulfillment of all the Sabbaths pictured, and we don't need the picture if we have the reality. Sabbaths are no more a part of the new covenant than animal sacrifices are. Again, I know we have some brethren that beg to differ with us principally, but I like what you said, Mark. We're agreed in that. This is not as some, and I think the Seventh-day Adventists would go in that vein of looking at it as meritorious, you know.
Some of them don't. They say they keep the Ten Commandments out of gratitude to God for his forgiveness. But if they're going to keep the Ten Commandments, they're obligated to keep the whole law, 613 precepts, out of gratitude.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and I agree. There is some lip service given to it, but when you look at the way that a lot of them function, and there are some different strains of Seventh-day Adventism, but a lot of them, I think, do function that way. And then they go into the dietary law. Where do you stop? You know? So, when I was
opening or preaching back in October in Hawaii, when we were filming out there, I had a couple Sabbatarians, Seventh-day Adventists specifically, that came up to the microphone and wanted to heckle. And I found, I don't know what your guys' experience is, but interacting with Seventh-day Adventists in this specific case, they're very unreasonable.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to just have a conversation with them. And I remember this one gentleman there in Hawaii, you know, as we're ministering there.
Well, I remember that
suffering.
Encounter, Mark.
I remember asking him the question, well, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath? He's all, no work. And I said, well, is it okay to cause somebody else to work? He goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, do you go to restaurants? Mm-hmm. Is it okay to cause, because this is what you're doing, you're causing a server to work. He wouldn't have a job without you.
Yeah.
You know, or if you had a plumbing problem, you know, is it okay for a plumber to work at your house or an electrician to work at your house? I mean, you think about all the work that actually is employed by Seventh-day Adventists on these days that you're actually not supposed to work. So we need to remain reasonable, right? We have nothing against our brethren who believe, you know, I think that we should keep the Sabbath defined as setting aside as a day of rest.
Yeah.
To recoup from what happened and thinking forward as to what is going to happen. Well, good. You also realize that there's no meritorious happenings between you and Christ. Oh, absolutely. I fully understand that. Enjoy that day.
Yeah.
Whatever day that is.
So Mark, what you're saying about being heckled by Seventh-day Adventists, they shouldn't have been heckling you. If they're Christians and you're a Christian, they should be grabbing Philippians chapter 1 and saying Christ is preached much in every way, even if some preach Christ out of contention, insincerely, hoping to add affliction to my bonds, I still rejoice the gospel's been preached. So they should be praying for you rather than heckling you.
And are they heckling on a Saturday?
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
It was a Saturday?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, just principally, whenever man becomes legalistic, you know, the Jews or the Pharisees, they added to the law. Mm-hmm. It's like 613 were not enough. Let us improve on those, you know? And and Jesus talked about it, you know, all the things that they would interject.
Is breathing a work?
Right. I mean, it's insane when man takes over and wants to earn his way to God. And so we just start adding things. But then what ends up happening inevitably is you get hypocrisy. You get loopholes that are, because they realize, wait, I can't keep this, but I've instituted it. What do I do now? So they would do things like, you're not allowed to carry your clothes out of your house if it was burning on the Sabbath. But if you put them all on, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You know, you can't travel a certain amount of distance away from your house on the Sabbath. But if you deposited food in a bush that far away from your house, that becomes your home away from home. And now you can travel. Yeah.
That's 39 different kind of laws.
Yeah.
Sabbath.
Exactly. And so, but that's, you know, evidence of how.
Are you serious? That what they say? You put food?
Yeah, this is historic.
So that means you could put food on a motorbike and just drive anywhere you want because the food's in front of you.
Just drop, you know, throw a peanut in this bush. Throw a peanut in that bush. Yeah, so it's pretty crazy when that happens. But again, because I want to drive this home to people, because again, there's that conflict, but it's in the Ten Commandments. And, you know, blah, blah. Listen to what Scott Klusendorf said. He said, the Sabbath itself is not eternal, but was a sign of the Mosaic covenant. Exodus 31, 13 to 17 designates the day as a sign between me and you throughout your generations. As such, it is given to a specific people for a specific time to remind them of a specific covenant.
That was Israel.
The Mosaic one, right. When the covenant is replaced with a new one, the sign that appointed to it, the Sabbath, no longer applies. True, the sign is said to be forever, but forever does not necessarily mean eternal, but forever until fulfilled. For example, various other elements of the Mosaic Law were spoken of as permanent, including the administration of the tabernacle, animal sacrifices, and the priesthood. All these were fulfilled in Christ, right?
Yes, I was just rubbing my nose.
You really look like you're going to say something.
No!
Yeah, so man, there's so much more we could say and talk about, but I think we've covered it. But I do want to end again by circling back to the importance of rest. And here's the thing, I think, for a lot of people, honestly, because we get in these rhythms. We're all different. We all rejuvenate and recuperate differently. And so I think it's important that we recognize that it's not one size fits all in that regard. But I do think there are some people that do not realize the benefit of rest in the same way that a smoker doesn't realize how much more easily they breathe until after they've quit smoking and it's out of their system. Or like someone who's got wax buildup in their ear for years and years and years don't realize how bad their hearing was until that wax is taken out.
Or like someone wearing glasses, they don't realize how bad their eyesight was until they get their glasses prescription.
Yeah, or someone whose teeth were bad until they get new teeth.
Or someone who's driving a car.
Or someone who wasn't wearing shoes.
Or someone who realizes they're not thirsty until they take a drink of water.
Yeah, or someone who's dirty. But until
someone who's been drinking like coffee with milk in them until they finally realize that you don't have to put the milk in.
Never.
And it's like an amazing
that
world.
Well,
happens
it doesn't take
alive.
Much to get us on the path of insanity, does it?
Yeah. But you guys know what I'm saying, though? Like,
yes.
That there are people that don't recognize the benefit of rest because they never rest.
Yeah.
And if they did it, they'll be like, whoa. I've shared before how there was a company that did an experiment where they had their two sets of employees doing the same work, the same number of hours per day, but one did it for 6 with a day of rest, the other did it with 7 with no rest.
Yeah.
The one that did it for 6 with a day of rest not only produced more in quantity of that product, but better in quality.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went to show, like, sharpening the axe,
yeah,
right?
Stop and sharpen.
Yeah, and often I've said to our staff, I don't know if I should say this, but I've said to them individually, if you want to have a snooze anytime during the day, go ahead.
Yeah.
because there's no point in having an exhausted employee that just needs like a 10, 15 minute break because it's going to rejuvenate them.
Yeah.
And that's what often you have little snoozes.
Oh, yeah. I have sleep apnea and different things. I get up super early too. Having that little 20 minute power nap, it's like a Sabbath in my day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it gives me a second wind. You know, sometimes even before the podcast, I'll get up early, I'll come in, I'll be...
Or during the podcast while we're talking, I've noticed you just...
Yeah. What do you mean? I'm asleep right now. I've been sleepwalking my whole life. But you know what I mean? Like I'll take a quick 10 minute and I feel refreshed. Yeah. I have energy to go. And so principally, man, it applies, mm-hmm. and we need to step back. And again, Oscar, I love what you shared about what you guys do as a family. You know, that's... What I love about that is the intentionality. And it may look different for different people, but do we have a rhythm like that that says, look, a part of this is focus on the Lord. It's not just me resting. I love the saying that says we don't work to rest. We rest to work.
Yeah.
You know, we rest to continue serving the Lord and others.
Yeah. I think too, like, you know, I think one of the things that we like to use the phrase with the kids is Sabbath. Sunday is about delighting, intentionally delighting in God, because the cultural way of describing work is, it's like that we've talked about this before. It's like grind culture, hustle culture, which is like you rest so that you can be a more efficient worker. But as we read the scriptures, there's definitely an efficiency aspect to rest, but there's also a delighting aspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
You rest to delight in God.
Yeah, oh, that's really good. All right. Well, I'm tired of you guys.
I need rest
massive rest. And friends, look, we've said this before, but it bears repeating. We delight in doing this because we know it's blessing many of you out there. Honestly, sometimes we wonder, really? Does it really? How? But we've heard enough of it to realize that it must be true. And thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with us. We know there are some of you that have listened to every single episode. There have been some of you that have told me you go back and listen to them again. And
why?
Because they remove the three of you from them and then re-listen. Yeah. But we appreciate you. And please, when you see us in public places, you know, if we're speaking at a church or a conference or you happen to run into us in public, don't hesitate to talk to us. There have been people who've done that. Yeah, I saw you here, but I felt bad. I don't want to never feel bad. You're a joy to us. And
just
we
drop around to Easy's house.
Ray's address is.
Just listen for the chickens.
Yeah. All right, friends. Well, there you have it. Don't forget the starter kit. Contains one pack each of the fallen gospel tracts. I already told you all this, I think. Whatever. All right, friends, make sure to check out the Living Waters mug, the Evidence Study Bible, and all that other good stuff. Ray, why are you raising your hand?
make sure you warn people about this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Warn others about this podcast. That'll keep them from listening.
Thank you again, Indiana Listener, for the hat. I'm wearing it.
Yeah, tell us who you are.
Thank you for the socks. I love brand new socks and Lamborghinis.
Podcast at livingwater.com. And don't forget to like and subscribe and share and all that other good stuff. Wow, Oscar, that looks sharp. That actually does look good on you. Can you wear it all the time?
Oh, hide my face.
Thank you for joining us, friends.
Oh, boy.
Don't do this.
Next time on the Living Waters podcast, the ultimate cure for insomnia. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I have no idea where that ridiculous saying came from, but friends, we do have winners. Winners for the podcast giveaway. That is the Living Waters podcast. We have Angela from Yucca Valley, California. Yvonne from Crestline, California. Brooke from Clayton, North Carolina. Andrea from Anderson, Indiana. Elias from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Becca from Lincoln University, Pennsylvania. Lowell from Yakima, Washington. Don from Charleston, Illinois. John from Ford, Australia. Good on you, mate. And Dave from Willen Lane, United Kingdom. Congrats.